Good morning, UCC. I'm Sumit, one of the pastors here at this church. And before I dive into the text for today, I just want to say today is Pentecost Sunday. And we want to recognize the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit of God, practically nothing would happen. So I want to start today with a word of prayer, honoring the Holy Spirit and asking Him to come and empower me as the speaker of the Word of God, and to empower you as you're hearing this message so that you have open hearts and mind to receive it. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you did not leave us alone. That after Jesus left, He sent the Holy Spirit to come and live among us and in us and give us the power to live a life that brings honor to you. And today, Father God, I pray that as I preach this word, I cannot do it on my own strength. I pray that your Holy Spirit will come upon me, empower me, and give me the strength to do justice to your word. And I pray over the people listening this morning that you will go to work in their lives through the Holy Spirit as well, to empower them, give them listening ears and hearts that they may receive this word and be transformed from inside. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Today I'm going to talk about how to manage anger. I believe this is an important subject, especially for this COVID-19 season, because we are seeing an increase in tension and conflict as a result of being stuck together at home. And also as a result of this growing political tension in our country. We are getting angry more easily. Temperature is flaring. And as a result, we are saying mean things to each other that we are regretting later on. The other day, in my family, things got heated. And we said things to each other that later on, the next day, we regretted very much. And I want to share that story with you, and I want to let you know, in case you're wondering, that I got Jody and Nikki's permission to share the story with you. So on Thursday evening, Jody and I were sitting together, and I turned to Jody and said, I do not want to jinx it, but I think we are at a good place. Guess what? I did jinx it. That night, things did not go so well. It is Nikki's job to give her dog Bella a medicine before Bella goes to bed. Bella did not want to come out of her crate because she was sleeping comfortably. So what Nikki did is try to drag her out and accidentally dropped Bella's head on the floor. And Jody turned to Nikki and said, "Hey, be careful." And Nikki had this attitude, and she snapped back at Jody, saying, "It was an accident." And Jody got upset. She turned to Nikki and said, "Hey, watch the tone of your voice. You can't talk to me like that." And Nikki got all upset. She stood up. She said, "Fine, take care of Bella. I don't want to take care of her." And she was about to storm out when this care pastor's temperature went from 0 to 90 like a new Tesla car. And I just got up and yelled at Nikki saying, "Hey, if you leave this room, I'm going to give Bella away. Some other family could take care of Bella." And she got all mad. She got all teary. She slammed the bowl she had in her hand down and just stormed upstairs. And Jody went after her. And she went into Nikki's room to talk to Nikki, and words were exchanged. Nikki said something to Jody that she regretted next day. And Jody responded back with words that she too regretted the following day. I know you're sitting there going, hey, that is something exactly that happened in my family yesterday or this morning or last week. I know. But you know what the good news is? That we are not alone in this. If you look at God's word, you see that good people, godly people, have gone through the same situation. As we end our overview of the book of Numbers today, we see that Bible's one and one of the most respected holy men lost his cool under pressure. He said things and did things that I believe that he regretted later on. And as we look and reflect at the things that he did or what he said in his anger, we can draw some principles out of it in order to help us manage our anger well. And that's exactly what we are going to do this morning as we look at Numbers chapter 20, verses 1 to 13. So let us turn in our Bible to Numbers chapter 20 and look at verses 1 to 13. This is what it says. In the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Zin. They stayed at Kadesh, where Miriam died and was buried. Now there was no water for them, for the community. And the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, "If only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this wilderness that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs, grapevines or pomegranates, and there's no water to drink." Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting and fell down on their face. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community, and they and their livestock can drink." So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock. And Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them." These were the waters of Meribah, where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord, and where he was proved holy among them. As is clear from this text, then Moses lost his cool, got extremely angry, and said and did things that I bet he regretted later. But why? This is so uncharacteristic of Moses. Moses is known as the most humble man on the earth. That's what it says in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. He's described as an example of faithfulness. Numbers chapter 12, verse 7. And in Numbers chapter 12, verse 8, it says that Moses is the one who spoke to God face to face. He was a great guy, a great man of God. So what happened? What triggered him? First, we read that in this text, Moses' sister Miriam died. And death of a loved one always takes a toll on your mind, on your soul. Even though Miriam had her share of conflict with Moses, according to Numbers chapter 12, the fact is, Moses loved his sister. After all, Miriam was the one who took care of Moses, who watched over Moses in Exodus chapter 2 when Moses' mom put Moses in a basket. It was like a miniature boat and placed it among the reeds along the banks of the River Nile. Remember the story? That Pharaoh told that every newborn son of Israelite has to be thrown into the River Nile. And Moses' mother put Moses in the basket with the hope that someone will find Moses and rescue him. And guess what? Miriam, his sister, watched over him from a distance. Watched that basket. So Moses remembered that. His sister's dedication, his sister's love for him. And he loved his sister. And now, towards the end of that journey through the wilderness, some 40 years have passed, and Miriam is gone. And Moses is struggling. And on top of his own personal pain, he has to lead a congregation of people, and these people are always complaining. And in this text you read that the community gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They call on Moses and Aaron and blame them from bringing them into that wilderness, as if God was not even involved. In verse 5, they say to Moses and Aaron, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible or evil place?" It was as if God was not even in the picture. It was as if God did not involve himself personally while they were in slavery in Egypt and bring them out of there. It is as if Moses had some malicious intention with which he brought them out into this wilderness to make them suffer. And as a result, Moses could not take it anymore. As a result, Moses snapped. Can you relate to Moses? I can. Like Moses, we all have had our triggers because of this COVID-19 situation. It was easier to be the super dad or super mom or super child or super friend when we could separate from each other for a while, go to school, go to colleges, go to our jobs, and have a community there, and then we could come back home and be with our family and love on each other. But those other communities are gone now. Sometimes we are stuck at home alone without a real sense of community. And we struggle with depression as a result. Or we are stuck at home with each other and are forced to face the relational issues that we once avoided by immersing ourselves in school and work outside.
And on top of all that, losses that many have suffered during this season. Loss of income, loss of loved one, loss of meaningful life transitions such as graduation and wedding ceremonies. And the list could go on and on. As a result, sometimes, maybe more often than we are willing to admit, we have been pushed off the edge. We have snapped and said something mean or did something that we regretted later. This was also true of Moses. The death of his sister Miriam, the depression that accompanied it, and on top of it, the continuous complaint of his people and the feeling that he cannot do anything right was enough to push him over the edge. As a result, he said and did something he regretted later. You see, anger itself is not always a bad thing. Sometimes our moral conscience demands that we be angry when we see injustice or someone doing something wrong. We ought to be angry. But it is how we express our anger is what matters. For example, you're driving down the road and suddenly this guy on his cell phone almost runs into you. And he had to brake or swerve in order to avoid that accident. No one will blame you for getting angry. You have the right to be angry at that person. But here's the difference. If you enter into a road rage with that person and try to harm that person physically, then that expression of anger becomes wrong. And that is where Moses went wrong. No one could blame Moses for being angry. He just lost his sister. And he was facing complaints from his people who should have been a source of comfort to him. And he was angry. But the way he took out his anger or expressed his anger is what made his action wrong. Dr. Lynn D. Johnson, a psychotherapist, has a chapter on anger in his book called Enjoy Life. The chapter title is Why Anger Does Not Work. He writes this in the opening section of this chapter. The reason for this is simple. When we are angry, we are less intelligent. Imagine three parts of the brain. At the base, like the head on a golf club, is a primitive brain that biologists often call the reptile brain. Above and around that reptile brain is a structure called the limbic system, like a sock over a golf club. The limbic system is a primitive mammal brain. I call it the monkey brain. Above and around this monkey brain is our cortex. Some biologists call that angel brain. They say you have a lizard, a monkey, and an angel living inside your head. The part of the brain that directs anger is a combination of the reptile brain and the monkey brain. Anger gives us the energy to fight our enemies. We react primitively and instinctively. We do not react with thoughtfulness and insight. So when we are angry, we lose the ability to think clearly and intelligently. In essence, we end up making stupid choices that we regret later. My late grandpa had an anger issue. One time, he lost his handkerchief. He looked for it for a very long time before he found it. And when he found it, he laid it nicely on his bed and then took a stick and beat that handkerchief. At that moment of intense anger, it is, to say the least, my grandpa
did not react with thoughtfulness and insight. Something similar happened to Moses as well. He and Aaron started out well. When the people complained to them, their first reaction was to go to God. And that's exactly what people ought to do. Take your anger to God. You look at the Psalms. Psalmists wrote Psalms sometimes expressing their anger to God. So Moses started off right. He goes to God with Aaron and they fall on their faces. And they didn't have to say a thing. God knows what's in our heart. And God tells Moses in verse 8 this. Take the staff and you and your brother Aaron together. Gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so that they and their livestock can drink. Staff was to be a visible sign of Moses' God-given authority. And Moses was supposed to speak to the rock in the presence of the people in order to bring glory and honor to God. But something went wrong. After Moses and Aaron gathered the people in front of the rock, something went very wrong. Maybe it was the sight of the people that triggered Moses' anger. Moses was sitting, stewing over how angry he is with this people. He's been just thinking over and over about how angry he is. Because these people have been complaining. And now, here they stand in front of them, and that triggers Moses' anger. And he snaps. Moses at that time allowed his primitive side of his brain to take over and failed to react with thoughtfulness and intelligence. Instead of speaking to the rock as God had instructed, in his anger, Moses ends up speaking to the people. He launches into a tirade against the community. In verse 10, he said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of the rock?" That's what happens when we are angry and we react without thoughtfulness. We say stuff that we end up regretting later. Moses was supposed to be an instrument of God. He was supposed to bring glory to God. He was supposed to point to God, who is the real miracle maker. But here, he's talking to the Israelites as if he is the one who does all the miracle. He's pointing to himself when he says, he's pointing to himself and Aaron when he says, "Must we bring you water out of the rock?" As if he and Aaron are some kind of Egyptian magicians who can do tricks and bring about water out of rocks. Instead of pointing to God, he points to himself, and that was a big mistake. You see, when we get angry, we say things we do not mean and things we later on regret. But not only do we say things that we regret, but when we are angry, we do things that we regret later as well. Such as slamming the door or punching the wall. It feels good at that moment when you're angry, but later it fills you with regret. Moses, the man of God, fell into the same trap. He not only said the wrong thing, but he also did the wrong thing. Instead of speaking to the rock as God had commanded, he hit the rock twice. I bet that felt good at that moment, but filled Moses with remorse later on as he reflected on it. This is why we have to be careful about how we handle anger. Because our anger might not always be wrong,
but how we express our anger could be very wrong. We could end up saying things and doing things that we might end up regretting later. So how do we manage or handle anger in this COVID-19 situation? Let me suggest a few ways that we can do that. First, we all need to know that how we express anger has consequences. We all need to know that when anger is expressed in a way that is wrong, it can have consequences. I told you about my grandpa who had this anger problem. He was a brilliant man. He graduated from a law school. He was a lawyer, but he could not keep a single job because of his anger issue. He got fired because he yelled at a judge. See, anger has consequences. If we do not know how to manage anger well, he could end up losing job. He could end up losing a lot of things in your life. Here, in the case of Moses, as you can see, he lost his job of leading his people into the promised land. God told him that because you did not honor me, did not trust in me, you cannot lead your people, this community of God's people, into the new land, the promised land that God had promised to give to his people. He lost his job. There are consequences that we suffer because of anger. It could be being grounded or losing your privileges if you are a child or a teenager. Or it could be losing your job if you are a grown-up. But the biggest consequence of anger, in my opinion, is a damaged relationship. Moses' relationship with God. Anger can tear apart families. It can destroy family relationships and friendships. Therefore, that should be incentive enough to work on managing our anger. Secondly, know your human limitations, your mental and emotional needs you need to be aware of. Moses was a workaholic. In Exodus chapter 18, verse 19, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, told Moses that Moses is doing all the work on his own and that he needed to delegate. And even though Moses listened to him at the time, a little over a year later, you read in Numbers chapter 11, verse 14, that he is complaining to God, about not being able to carry these people all by himself. And what God does is tells Moses to bring out 70 elders, and God empowers those 70 elders with his Holy Spirit so that they could share the burden that Moses was carrying. Moses was not aware of his own physical and emotional limitation, and no wonder, under pressure, he snapped. Because not knowing your human limitation, your physical and mental needs, is a problem when it comes to controlling anger. For example, studies have shown that lack of adequate sleep lowers our inhibition, our ability to restrain ourselves from emotional outbursts, and makes us react easily with anger. So, that means maybe, we need to go to bed early and not binge watch something on TV until it's 1 o'clock in the morning. Maybe that means that you work with your family to carve out that alone time when you could go for a jog or read a good book, because paying attention to your physical and emotional needs is crucial to managing anger. Thirdly, know your anger
why you're angry. I wonder if Moses had taken time to process his anger, if he would have dealt with things differently. Maybe it was the fact that his sister died and that she could not make it into the promised land that made Moses sad. And the anger was just the way he dealt with it. Maybe Moses needed to process that sadness, that loss, because anger can be a secondary emotion. We tend to resort to anger and to cover up our other emotions, such as the sense of loss, sadness, insecurity, disappointment. Those are the primary feelings that we cover up with the secondary emotion called anger. For example, California Association of Marriage and Family Therapists came up with 6 ways kids might express their sadness about COVID-19. And one of those ways was anger. So if a child slams the door to express his anger, it might just mean that he is sad and not that he's being a brat. And this is true of grown-ups too. Our feeling of insecurity about the future could be underneath our feeling of anger. Therefore, we must know how to be vulnerable. We must seek out friends. We must seek out family members, even therapists, even pastors, to process our anger, to get to the bottom of why of that anger, so that we can effectively deal with the anger itself. Once you know why you're angry, and you're able to talk about that primary feeling, whether it's a sense of loss or sadness or insecurity, when you can sit across from someone and say, "Hey, I'm feeling uncertain about my future. Can we talk about it?" Then that secondary emotion called anger goes away. Remember that we have an angel living in us. We do not just have a monkey and a reptile. And we do not live in a primitive society as primitive people. We do not just need to rely on our reptilian and monkey brain in order to survive. We have an angel. God-given angel. We are created in His image. We are created to process our anger, process our thoughts, react intelligently. And that angel is always waiting to take over. If we just learn to slow down. Whenever now my daughter starts to get angry, I call her my little angel. You know why? Because we have had that talk about how there's a reptile, there's a monkey, and there's an angel in our brain. And by calling her my little angel, I help her to process her anger by reminding her of that angel. And sometimes she will roll her eyes and say to me, "Daddy, I'm not going to do anything stupid." Maybe we need to do that with each other at home. When we see someone getting all angry, we may call that person, "Hey, you are my angel." Or that friend, "Remember, you're an angel." And help them get to the core of their identity of who they are, created in God's image. Not to explode in anger and say something or do something that they might regret later, but to process the anger and respond in a way that honors God.